Now let us turn in our Bibles, please, for our scripture reading to the book of Ezekiel. The prophecy of Ezekiel and the chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11, and we'll commence our reading together at the verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 11 and the verse 14. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord? Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards the Spirit took me up, and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God unto Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity, and all the things that the Lord had showed me. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his own truth, bless his word to our hearts today. Well, I hope you can understand what I'm saying today. Very pleased to be here in Lurgan. It's a right good few years ago now since I was here, I remember. I think it was probably my first year in the college, and that's a right bit ago. We've all got a little bit older since that, and a wee bit grayer as well. But that's one thing we can't stop. We cannot hinder the march of time. Time goes on, but it's good to be saved, and it's good to be going on with the Lord. I love that hymn there that we sung, for I think that ought to sum up our experience, trusting the Lord every day. Some people make a great mistake in thinking that they have trusted the Lord once. There's no need to trust them anymore. But that is not so. When we were saved, we trusted the Lord for mercy and for salvation. But we must hold on to him every day. Every day. We must come afresh and trust him for grace to help us and for his power to keep us. May the Lord help us do so. So it is a privilege to be here in Lurgan today. This is somewhat a bigger church than what we have in Keish, and a bigger congregation, but it is good to be here and to have this opportunity of ministering the Word of God. Let us bow together in a word of prayer as we come to God's Word today. O God, our Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to keep our faith and our trust in Thee, the Living One. Help us trust Thee moment by moment and day by day. We ask of thee to keep us in this sinful, wicked world. O God, we pray that our hearts continually might be filled with the love of Christ, that the Holy Ghost would shed abroad in each and every heart of every child of God the love of God the Holy Ghost. O keep us, we ask of thee, and undertake for us. Help us, Lord, like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Lord, we will trust thee, and Lord, we will cleave to thee. Help us, we ask. Undertake for us, Lord, as we turn to thy word today. Speak to all of our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now let us turn to this portion that we have read together, Ezekiel chapter 11, and the verse that I want to leave with you today is the verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 11 and the verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. And I want us to think today for a few moments here about the words of the prophet concerning the stony heart. And he says, I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. Now, I think we know that the Bible presents a very humbling picture of the human heart. And we know when we speak of the heart, we're speaking about the seat of our affections, what we really are inwardly. It describes not only the mind, but it describes our thoughts as well, the way that we think. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. So that a man is no better than his thoughts. But when we think today of the heart, it is very clear, it is very true that not one good thing the Word of God has to say about the heart. Not from Genesis to Revelation. We may search the Scriptures thoroughly and throughout, and the testimony is very clear that the heart of man is wicked, and it's only evil continually. You remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah chapter 17, and in the verse 9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And he adds these words, who can know it? Who can know it? There's not one of us here in this house today, in this church, that fully understands the depth of wickedness and the vileness of the human heart. That's why the child of God needs to pray continually the words that our Savior gave us, that the Lord would lead us not into temptation. For there's not one of us knows how much sin we're capable of, the depths that we're capable of sinking to if we're exposed to temptation. Some people might say, well, I'd never do that. I'd never commit such a sin. I'd never stoop to that depth. But I tell you, brethren, we don't know what we're capable of. We do not know fully what we would do if the opportunity presents itself. The heart is deceitful, and it is wicked, and we do not fully know all its vileness, and how we need to pray that the Lord would keep us. Each and every day we need to lift up our hearts. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Because the heart is deceitful. The old commentator Matthew Henry on this verse says, he says that the heart cheats men into ruin. So deceitful. It cheats men into ruin. That is the ruination of their souls. They're not aware, neither do they suspect the wickedness. The wickedness of the heart. They're not aware of it. They don't suspect it. They're not conscious of all its vileness. What a wicked thing the heart is. You remember the record of Genesis there. That well-known passage in Genesis chapter 6. And in the verse 5, we read these words, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Only evil continually. Every thought and every imagination of his heart. There was nothing in him pleasing to God as God looked down upon him. And remember today that the Almighty God does look down upon this earth. God looks down upon man. God takes stock. The Lord takes notice of the ways of man. And God takes notice of your way today. The Lord is taking stock of your heart today. The Lord takes stock of your walk today. And he takes stock of me as well. There is nothing at all hidden from him. And the one who knows the heart perfectly well, better than any man, says that the thoughts of their hearts, the imagination of their hearts, was only evil continually. And again, the wise preacher there tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, and in the chapter 9, and in the verse 3, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart." We see that today in our day and generation. We see that so well, so clearly today in our own time. There is madness. There is madness bound up in the hearts of men. And we see the sin that is committed. And we see the crime. When we see the awful things that are done in our land, I tell you, madness is bound up in the hearts of men. What an awful thing it is. Sin is responsible madness. Bible says, "Who hath hardened himself against God and prospered?" But when we go over to the New Testament, we find that the Lord's testimony, the Lord's own words concerning the heart, are no less favorable. You know that the seeds of the most awful sins are in the heart of every baby, in the heart of every child. We might think that our children are angels. We might think that the wee one that we nurse upon our knees is a wee angel. But our children are no angels. And your baby is no angel either. Even in the youngest, the most tenderest heart, there is the seeds of all the awful sins of this world, of the most heinous crimes. You remember the words of the Savior there in Mark chapter 7 and in the verse 21. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. These are the words of our Savior, for he says, "From within, out of the heart of man," that is, out of his thoughts, out of the very seat of his affections, he says, "proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." We're living in a time when man is exalted for his goodness. When so many tell us that the heart of man is sound. We often hear the expression, "Well, at the bottom of it all, he has a sound heart. At the bottom of it all, he has a good heart." But that's not what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us that down at the bottom of it all, we have a vile, corrupt, evil heart. And there in that heart, there are the seeds of every vile thing. Only one thing can change the heart of man. You can reform him in so many ways, but the heart needs to be changed. He needs to be saved. He needs to be born again of God the Holy Ghost. He needs a new heart. He needs a new heart. It is true, you can lock men away put them into secluded places, like the monks and the nuns and many other different orders. And these people have thought that by secluding themselves, shutting themselves out from society, that somehow they were going to escape temptation, that they were going to avoid sin. But they learned one lesson, and they have learned it dearly. No matter where you put a man, no matter how lonely, no matter how quiet, out of society, out of the world, there still is within his heart that corruption and that evil. It is with him everywhere. It's with him when he goes to bed. It's with him when he rises up again in the morning. It's with him throughout the day. He may go on holidays. He may hide himself. He can do what he wants. But his heart is with him, and it's full of evil. And it's full of wickedness. Full of vileness. What an awful picture we have. The heart of man. Deceitful and wicked. Full of madness. His thoughts only evil continually. But there is one common mark, and it's here in this verse before us. There's one common mark of the wrong heart. And it's used here by the prophet Ezekiel in a figure of speech. And he calls it here the stony heart. He says, "And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh." Now the Lord can do this for the sinner. Glory to his name. He can take away the stony heart. He can give a man a new heart. He can make him over again. Praise God, the Lord is able to give him a heart of worship, a heart of praise. He's able to give him a heart of devotion. He's able to give him a new heart. If you're not saved today in this meeting, if you're perhaps even far away from the Lord, and you think that I've sinned so terribly, my heart is so hard, well, praise God, today there's one that is able to change your heart. There's one that is able to give you a new heart and give you new affections and new desires. There's one that is able to give you a new path wherein to walk, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the giver of life. But I want us to think here of this stony heart, and the first thing is this, that a stone is hard. That's the figure of speech here that he uses. He speaks here of the stony heart. When he wants to speak here of Israel, when he wants to speak of their waywardness and how they've turned their back upon God and how they've gone after idolatry and they're worshipping idols, and he's studying their hearts, he's thinking about their ways, and he goes right to the root of the matter, and he says they have a stony heart. And then he's looking forward to a day which is yet future. And he says the Lord is going to take away that stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God is going to change their hearts. But the first thing is this, that a stone is hard. You've often heard the old proverb, as hard as a stone. As hard as a stone. Sometimes people, when they have fallen out with somebody, or when they have some argument with someone, when they're dealing with them and things are not going well, and perhaps they're trying to strike a bargain for something, whether it be a bullock or a cow or a sheep or whatever, and no one is giving way, and sometimes people will say, "Well, that fella, he's as hard as a stone. Hard as a stone. He wouldn't give me as much as £1 off the price. He wouldn't give me 50 pence back. He wouldn't give me anything. He's as hard as a stone." And a stone is unyielding, isn't it? It's unyielding. A stone is unbending. It may be broken, but it will never bend. Never bend. If you have a stone there in the yard, if you're digging or you're building, it's not going to bend for you. It's not going to yield. It's not going to soften. You have to take a sledgehammer to it. You have to take something to it. It may be smashed, but it will never bend. A stony heart, it will never bend. When we look at the great rocks around the coastline there in Portrush, Newcastle, they've been there for centuries. They haven't moved. They haven't moved. They haven't softened. They haven't yielded, Annie. They haven't bent. They're unyielding. They're unyielding. So it is with the heart of man. So it is with the heart of man. It's unyielding and it's unbending. God may send afflictions. He may send crosses. He may send many, many difficulties. A man may read good books. He may take up tracts. He can do all of these things. But these things in and of themselves, while they're all very good, but they're not able to soften the heart until God comes, until the Lord intervenes. And when the Lord intervenes, thank God there's a change. You remember the word of the Apostle Paul there to the Hebrews in chapter 10 and in the verse 32. He says, after that you were illuminated. After that you were illuminated. A man must be illuminated. He must be lit up. He must see first that he's lost, that he's ruined. God must reveal his heart to him. Otherwise he remains hard and stiff and unbending. Can I just say this today? That if you're not saved, if you be not converted, you need the Lord for to come and illuminate you. And I must go further. I must say that your heart will never, never change. That you'll never be saved until God the Holy Ghost comes and illuminates your mind and your heart and reveals to you your need. Now, I don't say that. I say that in order for to say this. I would hope then, having said that, that you would see the urgency of your case. That you would see something of your need. And that you would fall on your knees and in desperation and in conviction and earnestness pray, oh God, illuminate me. Show me my need. Come and save me. Dear soul, you're not meant for to sit back and be content with your stony heart. You're not meant for to go asleep. For if you go asleep in your sins and sleep on, you'll waken up in hell for all eternity. But there needs to be an urgency about you. You need to get on your knees and pray that God would send a ray of light into your soul ere you be lost. Because your heart is hard. But the Lord is able to soften it. And God is able to save it. He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to his name. And he still saves to the uttermost. But secondly, a stone is barren as well. You'll never reap a harvest from a stone. A stone is barren. Rocks are barren. Now, no man ever fill his barns from rocks, no matter what he does. It's a hopeless case. Sometimes when land is not too bad, it may be poor, but at least you can go out and do something with it. You might try to plow it. You can till it. You can work at it. You can persevere. And maybe in time then you can say to yourself, well, I think this land is in fair good shape. So I can go and I can put in a crop and I think it's going to grow all right. But there'll no man ever tackle a rock. He'd never dream of ploughing it. It can't be harrowed. It can't be softened. He can do nothing with it. And he'll never fill his barn from off the rocks. There's nothing there. It's just barren. Barren. And so it is with the natural heart. There's no faith in it. There's no faith in the natural heart. So much humbug is spoken today about having faith, and men have faith in God, and men trust in God. Men do not trust in God. The natural heart has not got one pinhead of faith. There's no faith in him. Has no faith in God. He's at enmity against God. That's what he is. The carnal man is at enmity against the living God. He's at variance with his Maker. There's no faith in him. There's no faith in him. There's no penitence. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no holiness until God comes and breaks it up. God must break up the fallow ground of your heart, that stony heart. And oh, you must call upon him to do so. You must call upon him to do so. You must cry to the God of heaven in Jesus' name and ask the Lord to come and to plow and break up this fallow ground of my heart to save me. Because it's barren, there's nothing in it. Nothing in it. The religious world today is promoting the goodness of man, promoting man's goodness, promoting the heart of man, setting him up. He's a noble creature. There's great things in store for him. He's got some standing. He has some merit in the sight of God. If he does this, that, and the other, he's going to be pleasing to God. But men and women, there's nothing at all pleasing in him. Not one thing. Not one thing. Does not the Scripture tell us that there is none righteous, no, not one? There is none that understandeth. None that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. None that seeketh after God. Man left to himself will not seek. Man left to himself does not understand. Man left to himself is going to a lost eternity. Are you going to a lost eternity today in this church? Do you still possess that stony heart? Do you still possess that barren heart? And there's nothing in it. There's no faith in it today. It's just dead. There's no love for the Lord in it. No love for his word. No interest in the things of God. What an awful state you're in. What an awful state. What a sad, sad state is yours today. But then again, the stony heart is dead. It's barren. It's barren. It's hard. And it's dead. It's dead. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2 and the verse 1. He says, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sins." Dead in trespasses and in sins. Men are dead. Dead. You tell a man about eternity, about the glories of heaven, and all that awaits there. You can tell him about the awfulness of hell, but he's not alarmed. Maybe you're not alarmed today. I pray and trust God that you'll get alarmed. And that you'd stir yourself up and awake out of your sleep. Are you alarmed today? Are you alarmed that you're not saved? The fact that you see no glory whatever in the world to come. You see nothing wonderful there. Nothing glorious about it. Man is dead in trespasses and in sins. He's like a rock. Like a rock. Fancy a man going up to a rock and telling him to flee, telling that rock to flee from the wrath to come. Doesn't listen, it doesn't move, it can't do anything. It's just fixed there. And you know, the word of God today warns each and every one of us to flee from the wrath to come. You know, people think that this world of ours is just going to continue, just as it always has. The same old routine. We're going to go to bed every night. We're going to have our breakfast the next morning. We're going to head off to work. The farmer's going to go out and milk his cows. Someone else is going to go off to the factory. The young people are going to go to school. And things are just going to continue on the same old rigmarole, year in and year out. But I'll tell you this, the authority of this Bible, there will come a time when we go to bed for the last time. There'll come a time when we have our last breakfast, when you have your last tea, when you speak your last word, when you laugh for the last time, when you sit with the family for the last time. Things are not always going to continue on. There is such a thing as the wrath of God which is to come. Are you saved today from that wrath that is going to come upon this world? Oh, how your heart needs to be changed. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, that religious man? That ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus by night, that man that had the natural heart, that stony heart, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, young person today, or older person, you need a new heart. And blessed be God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, is able to give you that heart. He is able to take the stony heart out of your flesh and give to you a heart of flesh, a soft heart, a saved heart, a new heart. He's able to do it. The natural heart is the heart of stone, but bless God, when the Spirit of God begins to work, then the soul is concerned. Are you concerned today? Are you concerned in this meeting? You say, I'm not saved today. I'm not saved, but I'm concerned. I would love to be saved. I wish I was saved. I wish I knew my sins, which were many, are all washed away. I long to get to the Savior. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him as my Savior and my Lord. I wish I was saved and I'm concerned. Well, thank God for that today. Because the Lord is able to so work in you. He's so able to transform your heart and your life. He's able to do it. Thank God, the salvation that we preach, the salvation we believe in, is a real salvation. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Trust Him for that heart of flesh. Trust Him for that new heart. He's able to give that heart to you today. But oh, what an awful thing if you're cut off in your sins. Listen. Listen, if you're cut off in your sins, your case is hopeless. You're hopeless. If you're cut off in your sins, and you come to stand before the Almighty God, then it's too late and there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. But there's hope now. And there's time now. And this is the season. Now is the accepted time. Now is the appointed time. Oh, dear soul, today if you be not saved, don't delay. Don't delay. Don't tarry. Seek the Lord and seek him now and seek him earnestly. And don't let go of him. The Lord can give to you today. Take away that stony heart, that unregenerate heart, that natural heart. And he's able by his grace and power to give to you today a new heart. Oh, you say you don't know all the sins I've committed and the awful things I've done. You don't understand the hardness of my heart. You don't understand how vile I am. How far I have gone. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It matters not how vile you are. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Only trust him. Look to him. Look to him now. And the Lord will do it for you. He has promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He gives you the invitation. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. May you trust him, and may you be saved today for his name's sake.